Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Dr. Ed Staffel, a dentist practicing here in San Antonio, and you're listening to the Dr. Staffel program and Your Smile Matters. And thank you very much for tuning in this beautiful Sunday afternoon. We've got some rain. Oh, my gosh, it looks nice. I don't have a guest today, so be sure and call in. The number is 210-599-5555, and let us talk about things that are on your mind about oral health, systemic health, and also about any dental problems that you might have that you're pondering, or a question that you may have about dental procedures and how to proceed on. If you're stuck on making a decision, let me help you with your decision and guide you on that. And so don't hesitate to call. Number is 210-599-5555. Isn't Randy Adams full of wisdom? My gosh, he does so much. He brings so much information to the world of purchasing autos, and all of us, just about everybody has to have an auto, and it's a fast-changing field. They're talking about Uber and Lyft and auto driving cars and all kinds of things happening. But in the meantime, we still have to get transportation to get up from point A to point B, like he says, and he has so much information. It is just phenomenal. And the service that he provides at his own expense is just education, education, education. And that's what I try to do. That's what I've been trying to do for 20 years with this program. Education, education, education. And trying to guide you to make good decisions about oral health and systemic health. I've been at the practice of dentistry for multiple decades. And we see so much, so many of our patients have been with me for a very long time, and we see their situations change. And so from this, we make decisions and try to make improvements on how to improve and how to protect a person's dentition and oral health, because it is key to just about everything. There's an enormous amount of nerves, for instance, that are directed, that come out of the brain and go to the oral cavity and the mouth and the face, at a large amount of brain innervation, because the brain is so protective of the body. And oh my goodness, it is so protective of the mouth and the teeth and the muscles and the gum tissues and the skin around the mouth. It is tremendous. And so the innervation, that is the nerve supply, that's how much the body thinks or is programmed to take care of the oral cavity. And we need to really try to give our best protection and best cleansing and best care to the teeth and the gums, because those teeth are programmed to last us 80 plus years, and they can. And I have patients that are 103 and they're doing just fine with their natural teeth and natural nerves and blood vessels in those teeth, because the tooth is a living structure until it goes bad with a root canal or dead nerve. So we urge you to really put a priority on your teeth. And that's what this program is about. And we're going to talk some more about the salivary gland hypofunction, which is xerostomia, which is just plain old dry mouth. But first, the thing that I want you to keep in mind is that the podcast, I have a podcast. It's free, and it's the address is staffeldds.podomatic.com. It's very interesting. And then I have a website also, and that's sanantoniodentist.net. A lot of good information, and lead you to a lot of interesting parts of it. And we're improving it all the time, and try to improve on this program all the time. Been doing this over 20 years, and it's been a delight. I've learned so much. I learn more than anybody, because I have to prepare for the program, and then I can take this information to my patients, and they are very thankful of the time that we spend preparing for this show and the information that we share, because it's just so very valuable. And this program is dedicated to education and information, and I really present a lot of material that you may not have heard, and it's all about oral health and systemic health and keeping your teeth and keeping your ability to chew and be comfortable and look nice. Just all these things. We take our teeth for granted, unfortunately. We take them for granted and we put them at a low priority too frequently and pay a price for it. With that choice of putting your teeth in a low priority, there's a consequence. And so we're here to direct you to prioritize your teeth better, prioritize your gums, the bone housings for the teeth. So I'm going to review with you briefly here about salivary flow. Now, saliva is a very interesting material. And had a program on this earlier, but I'm going to simplify it and distill it down. And saliva is just an incredible material. It has enzymes, it has minerals, it has the beginning of the, it's where the digestion begins. That's where digestion begins in your mouth, is with saliva. And there are causes and conditions associated with the dry mouth, dry mouth is a sensation of dry mouth. Our salivary hypofunction, that is low function. And the things are wide-ranging, and the causes of it, of salivary low gland function or hypofunction, they're wide-ranging, and they can include things like just mouth breathing, which is caused by allergies. And that's why we talk about sleep apnea, we talk about sleep airway, and we talk about having a ENT clean out the nostrils and the sinuses and getting that cleared up before, so that you have a clean airway pathway. And then, of course, smoking tobacco, and we now have smoking marijuana, which affects the salivary flow, can affect the salivary flow, and then there's yeast, overgrowths, then there's menopause, and then, of course, the big one is aging. Oh, my goodness. Aging is a huge factor in this. And then there's dehydration, just not drinking enough water. Then there's diabetes mellitus, radiation therapy, which is directed at the head and neck particularly. And then there are a variety of other medical conditions that go into this dry mouth. But I want to point out one thing before we go on. It's so interesting. Picture, if you will, a 2-liter bottle of soda water. You see them all the time in people's grocery carts. And that 2-liter bottle, and now double that to 4 liters. 4 liters. And that'll give you an idea of the size of 4 liters. Now then, if you lose 8% of the body's water content, which is approximately the 4 liters that I was talking about, that's 4 liters. Picture them. 2 liters each of soda water, 2 of them together, that's 4 liters. So when the body loses just 8% of its water content, which is approximately those 4 liters, the salivary flow goes to zero. And the salivary flow does not return to normal for 24 hours. And I thought that was just an amazing statistic, an amazing observation, how important hydrating is in drinking water. Typically, we need about 64 ounces to 80 ounces of water replenishment for our system because we're breathing. We're losing water in our skin. We're losing water in our breathing. We're losing water through urinary and excrement processes. And so that has to be replaced. And the brain is a large content of water also. And when you have not enough water in the brain, you start getting painful headaches and things of that type. So this is just something, I just wanted to bring this to everybody's attention. 8%, when the body loses just 8% of its water content, which is approximately 4 liters, the two big soda water bottle sizes, your salivary flow can decrease to zero. So keep this in mind. You may, if you have a salivary flow that's pretty low, you may just need hydration and drinking water and drinking enough water. And but then keep in mind that that salivary flow will not return to normal for 24 hours. 24 hours. So after you have depleted the 4 liters through working out, sweating, yard work, or just normal breathing and sleeping and so on, and sweating, and the urinary and excrement processes, your salivary flow can go to zero, and it doesn't return to normal for 24 hours, so you need to replenish that. So keep that in mind. I think we get so busy with our schedules, we just flat out forget to drink water. And that's really, I think, valuable information. Just wanted to pass it on because dry mouth, we hear about it so much in my dental practice, and especially in the elder and older population. And it's caused by so many things. There's so many medical conditions that are associated with the dry mouth aspect and salivary low function. Number one is going to be anxiety, stress, and depression. And, oh, goodness, you know about that. You know well about when you're anxious or when you're stressed, your mouth gets dry. As they say, cotton mouth dry. And then, of course, depression. Depression is pretty rampant these days, and because we're living in such a stressful lifestyle, and it's amazing, just absolutely amazing, how big a problem anxiety, stress, and depression is. You put all three of those together, and the consequences, and of course, one of the consequences is just low salivary flow, and the saliva is so protective of the teeth. It is so valuable because it has a mineral, it has natural antibiotics, it has probiotics, it has so many things that are valuable to protecting your teeth and gums and keeping the bacteria from going, just get it growing wild. And the reason for that is when your mouth dries and your teeth become dry and your gum tissues become dry, you have no salivary protection. The bacteria take that. They don't need much moisture, and they just go crazy. They just multiply so fast. It's just like it's just stunning how fast bacteria, and then bacterial overgrowth, and then yeast growth, overgrowths. All of these things can grow so fast. And so that's the reason for making sure that you have plenty of saliva. And then botulism, but that's not a real concern in today's world. Neuropathy is, however, a medical condition associated with that. And then there's myalgia syndrome. And then there's HIV infection that dries the mouth out. And the acquired immuno deficiency syndrome of AIDS. So HIV infection and AIDS are two of the conditions that dry the mouth out. And HIV-related lymphocytosis, infiltrated lymphocytosis syndrome. This is a related HIV-related thing. So lots of water, lots of water. Lyme disease. Lyme disease has gotten pretty prominent nowadays. And lymphoma from cancer results. And then multiple sclerosis, myasthenia gravis, Parkinson's disease, dermatomyositis, biliary cirrhosis, primary fibromyalgia, quite a problem. And then sclerosis, sclerodoma, rheumatoid arthritis. Rheumatoid arthritis is a medical condition associated with dry mouth. Silicone breast disease. And then the big one, of course, Sjogren's syndrome. And we see this. Fortunately, it's not real common, but gee whiz, when a patient comes up with this, it's really a problem to the patient and takes special attention to dampen down the symptoms, because Sjogren's, it's not only affecting the salivary flow, it's affecting the eyes and the skin and the whole body system. And then autoimmune disease, lupus erythematosus, and then thyroid disease. A lot of people have problems with dry mouth from thyroid disease. So these are some of the medical conditions, and there are others in addition to this that affect. And of course, if you've had cancer treatments of the salivary glands of the head and neck, that is a problem, and that can cause dry mouth. And so infections of the salivary glands can create damage. And of course, mumps that get into the salivary glands, fortunately we don't see that very much, and that's good. But all of these and other conditions affect the dry mouth, or create the dry mouth. And the dry mouth has been, give you an idea, it's 50% when the salivary flow drops from 50% below normal, and this can be tested. That's considered a dry mouth and needs, and that's when normal things, when the salivary flow drops below 50% of normal, things start to happen. So, what are the clinical signs and symptoms of salivary gland low salivary flow or hypofunction? Well, of course, absence of a pool of saliva in the floor of the mouth. You always know when you have this. Altered sensation with awareness of normal intraoral structure. There's your mouth doesn't feel right. Altered speech, difficulty speaking because your tongue's sticking to your cheek and your roof of your mouth. A burning tongue and a burning mouth. This is pretty common. Pretty common with dry mouth. Burning with oral hygiene products. Certain toothpastes have sodium lauryl sulfate and certain flavorings can be a problem with oral hygiene products like toothpaste and mouthwash. So one of the most common things that are causing problems are the sodium lauryl sulfate. That's a detergent, an old, old detergent. It's been used since the 60s, and it's used in a lot of toothpaste and flavorings. And it is something that people get reactions to and causes dry mouth. And so then there's candidiasis, which is a yeast overgrowth. When the saliva flows down more than 50%, as we described, the bacteria take over, and then the bacteria that normally keep the yeast under control, or candidiasis, the balance, it gets out of balance and the yeast takes over and you get these red patches all over your mouth, or they might be white patches, but they create a real problem as far as discomfort, damage to the gums, damage to the teeth, and it's a sign of a salivary gland hypofunction. And then cheek biting, and then these little angle in the corner of the mouth, angular sores that you'll see in there, where they're just in each corner of the mouth, you see these red sores. And then chronic oral infections. Anything, something as serious as pemphigus, which is very serious, but fortunately not too seen very often. But the worst one we see is dental caries, dental disease, cavities in the teeth, and dental erosion and abrasion, and gum recession. Another problem is difficulty chewing. Another problem is altered taste. Another problem is difficulty swallowing. And with food frequently getting stuck between the teeth. Then a frequent dry cough or throat clearing. So if you're always clearing your throat, and we run across these people from time to time, this can be a symptom of low salivary flow. Gingivitis, that's gum disease. Periodontal disease, that's bone and gum disease. And gingival recession. All three of those are a sign and a symptom of low salivary flow. And then the sensation that something is stuck in the throat. This is really a problem. And then, of course, halitosis or malodor, heartburn, gastroesophageal reflux, sensation of a film on the teeth or mucosa, as well as weight loss, because you can't eat comfortably. You just lose your appetite. You have an altered sense of taste. You have difficulty swallowing. All these affect your eating. And so these are some of the clinical signs and symptoms of salivary gland hypofunction. So if you have a problem, give us a call. I'd love to visit with you. The number is 210-599-5555. It can be about this, or you may just want to know about a dental condition, a dental choice that you're having to make. And you need some information on making a good decision. So give me a call. We have open lines, 210-599-5555. Now, inadequate saliva may be caused by many conditions, which we've just been covering. Now then, there are hundreds of prescription and over-the-counter medications that have induced salivary gland dysfunction as an adverse effect. So this is something that it really needs to be diagnosed. And dry mouth leads to be a more frequent complaint in older individuals. And 80% of patients age 60 years or older have complaints of oral dryness, burning mouth, taste alterations if they are on medications, even with a normal salivary flow. That's a pretty high number. 80% of patients age 60 years or older have complaints of oral dryness, burning mouth, taste alterations. And then determining the cause of salivary gland low salivary flow can include the use of laboratory blood testing for diabetes mellitus, hypothyroidism, Sjogren's syndrome, and other autoimmune diseases. So, again, diagnosis is very, very important. Diseases such as Sjogren's syndrome or amyloidosis or sarcoid may be identified on salivary gland biopsy. So, again, whenever that salivary flow drops below 50% of normal, we've got a problem.
We have a problem.
Let me stop here just a minute and talk to you about how important it is to make sure that your mouth is in good health, your oral health is in good order. And we find that so many people, millions and millions of people, according to the statistics, have a high fear of having their dental treatment done. They're afraid to come into the dental office because they might be intimidated. They might be made to feel they're made fun of, or just, and that never happens in our office. That's the dental office of Dr. Staffel and Williamson. We make sure that you never, ever are embarrassed. There's never any embarrassment that's generated because you come in regardless of the condition of your mouth. And this is so important. You don't have to worry about embarrassment. And we have the latest technologies. We have a cadre of specialists that we work with so that we can handle just about majority of dental problems. And we can handle the majority of these dental problems in office. We have sedation levels all the way from the fabulous Nucom and nitrous oxide, which is laughing gas, and then little pills that put you into a wonderful state of relaxation. And then we even have IV sedation. So it's time, if you've been putting off getting your teeth fixed or examined or a diagnosis, now is the best time ever to have this done at the office of Dr. Staffel and Williamson. And we will take such good care of you. That's what we've been doing for years and years and years, and making sure you're comfortable, making sure that you are just have the most wonderful experience, the most comfortable experience. We've dedicated our enormous amount of time and procedures to making sure that you'll be comfortable and that you'll have a great experience. And this is the way we do things at the office of Dr. Staffel and Williamson. Our number is 210-341-2569, 210-341-2569, and let us show you how wonderful a dental experience or dental treatment can be. Dr. Staffel and Williamson, the number is 210-341-2569, 210-341-2569, and let me go to Frank. Frank, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you, Dr. Staffel?
Just wonderful. How may I help you?
Well, I have two questions, sort of. One of them is I'm in my late 40s, and I've got a baby tooth that I've had my whole life. You know, no adult
yes, sir.
Tooth ever came up underneath it.
All right.
And it's about, I don't know, I mean, it has a silver filling from a long time ago.
All right.
About half the root has just gone away, and they've put, like, some gray cement under there to try to hold it in place, and it seems to be solid as a rock.
Okay.
It's got a little cavity in there that they want me to wash out better than I do, and I'm just wondering if, you know, if I should take action or just wait till something happens. Or
your decision.
Forever,
all right. All right. Here's the situation. Your decision is going to be based on infection.
Okay.
If infection, now, what happens is when a tooth is left over like that, there may be a process of the bone being eaten away, and then it may not be, that may not happen. For instance, I had a patient, he's deceased, but he had a baby tooth, and it wasn't until he was 90 years old that we finally had to take that tooth out.
Oh my goodness, wow.
And we have
okay.
other patients who had that tooth. Have these situations, but again, if the tooth is solid, if there aren't any infectious areas around the root, It's good to go. It can last you very nicely. And you can function with it just as well. But if they're on your regular dental examinations and x-ray examinations, if it turns up that you have dental infection around that root, just get it out because it's an easy replacement. You have
okay.
a replacement.
And then you get an implant or?
You get an implant or you can get a fixed bridge or you can get a little removable device as well. There are three ways for doing that. You do want to get a replacement in there because the teeth will shift both against the teeth, that is, against the space, and the teeth also on either side of the space, if the tooth is removed, will shift and it'll ruin your bite. A lot of bad things happen when you don't have that space maintained. If you get to a situation where the tooth has to be removed and it's a financial burden for you at the moment, a little spacer, a small metal wire spacer can be placed into the space and it can last you for 2 or 3 years until you can get to a point where you can properly restore it. An implant works beautifully unless you have large fillings or decay on the teeth on either side. Then you would want to go to a fixed bridge, which is going to put a crown on one side of the space and a crown on the other side of the space and then connect it together with a replacement tooth. It'll all be connected together. And that is done unless the teeth are whole and are perfect and don't need to be have that. Then you want to go to, you'd go to an implant.
Okay.
Plus, you can always go to removable devices as well. Okay, go ahead.
My gums are somewhat receded, especially on one side where I used to brush too hard.
All right.
And when I get my teeth cleaned 3 times a year, and when I go in, they take these little measurements. I don't know how they really do it, but
it's just where they. It's very valuable. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and they tell me I'm holding in treading water that it's not getting any worse. But if it gets any worse, then I'd probably have to get, gum grafts or what have you.
That is correct. That's an accurate diagnosis.
So if I'm right there on the borderline, at least on some of my teeth.
You're fine. And the measurement is what we do. We measure what we call the attached gingiva. That is, if you look and pull your cheek out, you'll see the gum tissue is real tight and attached to the gum. Now, what happens and what they're measuring is if you ever lose that attached gingiva, then you have a communication between the mouth and into the gum tissue or into the tissue deep inside the jaw. And when that happens, you're open to infection, severe infection, because that attached gingiva is what's keeping everything healthy. So that is, as long as there is a millimeter of attached gingiva, you don't have any problems. You don't have to worry about a thing. But whenever that measurement of the attached gingiva disappears and you have an open pathway between the mouth and into the muscle, then you need to get that fixed. And now with today's procedures, it's an easy process. And tissue is usually taken from another area, usually from the roof of the mouth. And once it is done, and it is done well, you never, ever have to worry about it again because they use real tough fibrous tissue from the roof of the mouth typically. And once that exchange is made and it is put into that area, it also covers up the worn areas of the teeth. And that tissue is so wonderful that you never, ever have to worry about it again deteriorating.
Okay.
So there's a good solution to it, and it's important that you follow the dentist or hygienist's evaluation on that.
Okay. And what's the most important thing for me to do to try to maintain it? Is it the flossing, the brushing, everything?
Just don't let any plaque accumulate, and you're going to do that with either using an automatic brush, the one that is very effective is a Sonicare, or using a soft brush that's especially designed for these areas. You just don't want to use a stiff bristle brush because that'll tear that tissue down. And you also want to make sure that your bite is balanced because the teeth will bend, and because they're the inside of a tooth is 30% collagen, that means it's flexible, and you'll flake all of the, or you'll flake a portion of the enamel off down at the gum line where it's real thin, and then that leads to destruction of the gums. And don't be sure you don't, I'm sure you don't have any spit tobacco habits or smoking, is that right?
No, no, sir, I don't.
Okay.
So I do have, I feel like my bite is balanced.
That's
and
good.
I try not to bite where that baby tooth is, like a big piece of beef jerky or something. But
sure.
I do have two wisdom teeth on one side that I kept when I had the surgery years ago because they fit in my mouth, so I just kept them. Is that a problem?
What surgery? What do you mean? What surgery?
When I had my, I had two of my wisdom teeth removed when I was 19.
And
I kept the other two on the other side of my mouth because they were only, it was one that was impacted on the left side of my mouth on the bottom. And so that had to come out. And then they said the one above it had to come out, even though it was already
right.
in my mouth.
Right.
And then they said it was optional. And I just decided to keep the other two. It's kind of a,
all right. Now are they, so those two are erupted?
No, they're in my mouth and they work fine. I just,
and when the hygienist measures those pockets, there are no pockets over 3 millimeters back in that area?
I don't believe so, because okay. They haven't red flagged anything, you know.
That's the measurement, so there's absolutely no reason to remove them. The only thing that you have to keep in mind is that as your teeth wear, it will develop, you can develop interferences, we call it, and it can create headache pain if those interferences are out of harmony with the rest of your teeth and the joint and the jaw muscles. So if you don't have any headache pain and you're not generating any muscle spasm when they squeeze on the masseter muscles or the chewing muscles, you're in great shape. Or you can always ask the dentist, are there any interferences with those third molars? Do they need to be buffed or polished so that they're not interrupting? Because they can, as you wear your teeth and as time goes on, they can create a lot of problem if there's a misalignment of those teeth that develops. And it's an easy thing for the dentist just to polish that interference out. But your symptom would be difficulty chewing or headache pain, even up to migraine pain.
Wow. Well, you are so informative, and I really appreciate it.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Sounds like you're doing all the good.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Steffel.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Take care.
Okay. If you have a question like that, don't hesitate to call. And the number is 210-599-5555. So back to the dry mouth, which is really a big problem, especially in people over 60 years of age. So what's the treatment? Well, the main treatment is going to be over-the-counter lubricant products. And one of the very best that we've been using for decades are these little clear plastic trays. They're like Invisalign trays or bleach trays, and they can be made of various thicknesses and various materials, and they're very comfortable to wear. And you put these, and these are made to your exact fit. You don't want to do anything that you'd buy at the drugstore and make your own trays, because the teeth will move under those situations, and it's a very poor design. You do not want to do it yourself. You have your dentist, or you can come in and we can fabricate these trays. They're very simple. And now we just do a scan and then send them off and get them made. But you can have these clear plastic trays that you can wear all night, and during the day, most of the day, or all during the day, they're very comfortable. And it's usually best to get two or three made, so if you chew them up, because they deteriorate. And you load them with the over-the-counter lubricants, and they work beautifully. We've been doing this since the 70s, and they just work so well. And then this is one of the simplest ways, and you use one of the over-counter lubricating products, and there's so many of them. My gosh, there's about 20 of them. And the Biotene is Oral Balance is one of the most heavily used. And it's just an enormous, they're over, goodness, there's about 15 of them altogether, and probably more. And these are over-the-counter lubricating products. They're gels, liquids, rinses, sprays, lozenges, and the Biotene Oral Balance is, you can buy that at any place. That's one of the most frequently used. And, but using it, they recommend it as a rinse, but actually you're much better off to get these little trays made by a dentist, and then you can load these over-the-counter products, lubricating products, into the trays, and they work just so well. And keep your mouth and gums, even at night, working so well, covered and taken care of. So that's the treatment. Now, there are other things. The trays are one of the best ways to do that. And even, you can use the products without the trays as well. You don't have to have the trays, but you go through a lot of product as a result. And the trays just work so well, and they feel so good, and they keep your mouth so comfortable. So keep that in mind. Treatment is that's the best way, one of the best ways to do that. Now, there's salivary stimulant medications, but these medications have been used for a long time, but they have trouble. They have side effects. And to take these medications, because of the side effects, you're better off to just go straight to the over-the-counter lubricating products and with the trays. And like I mentioned, if you decide on getting the trays made, get two or three pair made, because they're really inexpensive, and they will hold up for... They'll have to be worn. They'll wear out, but they will hold real nicely for most of the time, and keep your teeth preserved and your gums preserved, because they keep everything in moisture content, the moisture, good moisture. So, again, when you lose 8% of your body's water content, which is about 4 liters, two of those 2-liter soda water bottles that you see in a lot of grocery store baskets, your salivary flow goes to zero, and it doesn't return to normal for 24 hours even after you've hydrated. So keep that in mind. It's important to keep hydrated. Now then, there are there's an electrical stimulation that you can get a TENS unit, and you can get that over the counter. And you put it over the salivary glands for 5 minutes at a time. That's an over-the-counter TENS unit. And that will stimulate over 50% of the time, as high as 80%, and as high as anywhere from 68% to 80% has been reported of effectiveness with these electrical TENS units, putting them over the salivary glands and stimulating the salivary flow. Another one has a electrical impulses, but it's only in Europe and Australia. It's not approved over in the United States yet. But the over-the-counter, you use those as frequently as you want to. So this is how you're going to diagnose, treat, And this condition is not to be taken lightly. Frequently, we'll be taking care of patients for years and years and years, and then they've taken such good care of their mouth, they come in regularly for their cleanings and examinations, and everything is taken care of, and then one day they come in and their mouth is just, it's just devastating to see how bad the decay has gotten. And this is always traced back to two things: change in the diet with high sugar, and of course the sugar content is related to depression. A lot of people, as time goes on, they get into depressive states, and the depression is altered by antidepressive medications, but also it's altered by sugar and candy, and they start consuming sweets and candy and mints and different candy products, because the sugar gives about 20 to 30 minutes of serotonin, which is a happy hormone, and dopamine, and a person will feel good consuming that sugar, and then they'll go back to it because they crash after the sugar high, we call it, has worn off. When the sugar high has worn off, they go back to the sugar, and they just keep repeating it throughout the day. If they're using a sugar soda water, they do the same thing. They just sip on those. And so, and also a lot of people, when they go to sleep, they will go through this regimen instead of cleaning their teeth ideally. And of course, the sugar has been shown to be so devastating for physiologic things and other medical problems, including heart attack and lots of big things. We've talked about this a lot. We'll talk about it a lot more. But we see patients come in, and everything will change. We had one patient come in one time, and that patient had developed a lot of decay, and it was tracked down to nothing but Tums, because there are Tums that are used for antacids, stomach reflux, gastric reflux, and there are Tums that have sugar in them, and this particular person was consuming these Tums on a regular basis because the stomach acid had become so uncomfortable, and it did a terrific amount of damage and decay to the teeth. So you have to be careful of medications like that. Of course, Tums is not a medication. It's just an over-the-counter remedy. But anything that you dissolve in your mouth, anything that you have a medicine that's given to you by a physician that is instructions are to dissolve in your mouth, be sure and check the label that there are no, that it's a artificially sweetened medication, because if you take and consume these on a regular basis, and in addition you have a dry mouth, oh my gosh, it's just a big disaster. It's a disaster waiting to happen. Let me take a call here. Marie, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I didn't want to interrupt what you were talking about, and I waited till now.
Great.
I was wondering, some while ago you talked on your Smile Matters about Parkinson's.
Yes.
And someone that you said that, you said if someone had Parkinson's in their family, it would be to their advantage to start a diet that might help stave off.
Well, one of the things that is terribly important is P5P, which is B6, vitamin B6. You can go to Sprouts or Whole Foods or anything like that. And P5P is going to be how it's titled, and it's actually B6. This is very important for supplementation for Parkinson's. Now, I will have someone on to talk about this pretty soon. Glutathione is another thing that helps with stave off Parkinson's, but glutathione is very hard to get into the brain. And this Parkinson's is such a growing problem. It's that and cognitive decline are growing like unbelievable amounts. So I'll try to have somebody on here that's very knowledgeable about all these factors and have them on here pretty soon, because this is so important, and it affects the oral cavity and it affects the oral health, because as a person gets into Parkinson's, they can't function, they can't brush their teeth, they can't eat, and they get into dry mouth, all the things that I've been talking about here. And then it's the same thing. We have the same problems with cognitive decline. Cognitive decline is becoming a gigantic problem, and the projections for cognitive decline in Alzheimer's by the year 2050 are staggering, and the costs associated with it. So there are some books out. One is called The End of Alzheimer's, and that's by an MD by the name of Brandison. And it's a starter. It's complete, but it's detailed. And it has a lot about diet and supplements. His name is Brandison, B-R-E-N-D-E-S-O-N, M-D. And he was with UCLA for about several years. And then that came out, and it's called The End of Cognitive Decline and Alzheimer's. So that's interesting, because the Parkinson's is tied into with that. So the Parkinson's, the other big thing about Parkinson's is turmeric or curcumin, and you can buy that. Curcumin is the active ingredient in turmeric. Turmeric is in curry, and the reason they came across this was some time back, the people of India, the country of India, have very little Parkinson's, and they traced it to the curry or the turmeric or the curcumin. So you can buy these curcumin products quite regularly, and they're good for inflammation. They're good for all kinds of things. And some of the designs, I've seen some of the designs that say the curcumin should be taken with a oil, like
pepper,
yes, but supplementing with curcumin, that regimen is one of the best things that we know of to prevent Parkinson's. But be sure and take the B6, the P5P, because that is tied up by some of these medications. And we'll have more direction on this and more information on it. It's a very lively subject right now, because it's affecting so many people so fast, and as well as the country. All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. And that's it for another wonderful, beautiful Sunday afternoon here. And be back next week with some more information. I'll see if I can get this person who is so knowledgeable about brain function, because it has, our patients that we have with Parkinson's have such a difficult time with oral hygiene, and they typically also have dry mouth, and it's just a real difficult problem. And then the caregivers, as the disease progresses, the caregivers have a really difficult time with it. Thank you so very much. I appreciate your attention. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with more information. And have a great week, everybody. Thank you so much, and God bless. Bye-bye.